It's time for Seminole Headlines featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, Managing Editor Ira Schofel, and Senior Writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, WarChant TV begins right now. Great to be with you as always. There they are. If you're watching on WarChant TV, make sure you like and subscribe. Say hello, boys. Good to be with you as well. Good to be back in the studio. This hour brought to you by our friends at Register Sausage. I had Register Sausage over the weekend. I actually broke down, ate some.
There we go.
Enjoyed it. It was really, really good.
You broke down.
I broke down. Grilled it up. And I don't mean it that way. People know I just don't eat a lot of.
You don't eat a lot of red meat.
That's right.
But you do on occasion. And when you do, it might be
Register. It's Register Sausage. That's right. Yay, sausage.
What was the occasion? Just July 4th or was it?
No, it's Saturday.
Oh, okay. Fair.
It's just Saturday. My kids are out of town. I'm kind of celebrating. My kids are out of town.
Oh, okay.
So as much as I love them, it was a nice little respite for the wife and I. And I was like, hey, I'll grill out for you, baby.
Jalapeno cheddar or just the regular?
The hot.
I like the hot.
Yeah, just the
which
hot.
Which is not really hot.
No, it's not hot at all.
But it's got a little flavor. It's got a little more flavor
little
than the regular.
A little something to it. A little something something.
So. But the Link Jarrett promo code, I think, just ended on Friday. But you can still order if you live outside of the Southeast on registermeats.com. Or if you're in the Southeast, certainly in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, to the Carolinas, I think, you can go in and request it. If they don't have it at your local grocery store, Publix or whatever, just, you know, casually mention it.
Rise
we
up.
We don't get violent. We don't throw things. We don't throw cans of green beans at people. We just say, hey, we'd like some Register sausage, and they'll make it happen, and Ben will have it shipped to that store.
Cans of green beans. Yeah. You're going violent, man. Got some weight to it, like tuna.
Throw some tuna at somebody.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's some big cans of food, man. Especially if you go to
get one of those soups, like a big Campbell's soup.
Like a family soup.
Oh yeah, you can take somebody
kill
down.
Kill someone.
Yeah.
We're not advocating that. We're not, clearly. Right. I want to make that clear. Right. We're not advocating you killing Publix managers.
So here we go. Let's say this. We have not, the three of us, been together or spoken of and had an opportunity to talk about what happened with the Big Ten deciding to one up the SEC and go grab the LA market. I know you wrote about it on warchant.com. You guys can read Corey's piece. But I looked at it as a reason to celebrate. I'm assuming you guys did too. This is the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Or if you will, the jumping off point that we're all been waiting on.
But I don't know
about this conference.
Now that we know where it was going, after Texas and Oklahoma, that didn't feel like a reason to celebrate. That was a reason for, just despair on my part. Like, okay, this is all over. The sport I grew up with is completely done.
Oh, yeah. Well,
which was clear.
You had some time to wrap your mind around that, though.
Once we wrap our mind around that, and then we realize that the Big Ten is going to be the other super conference now doing this with USC and UCLA, yeah, now you start to get at least a little bit excited about what the future of the sport can be again, because I think there's going to be some equality there. With these two conferences, for sure, that I wasn't so sure of 6 weeks ago. I should have been, but I just wasn't. The SEC could have just been the lone tanker out on the horizon. But now the Big Ten, and that's going to create competition, which means teams like Florida State, Clemson, Miami are going to find landing spots because they're going to just keep building and adding, I would think.
Well, we certainly hope.
I mean, we certainly hope. Mm-hmm. I mean, the feeling is that that's where it's going to go. The difference between the ACC, I just want to throw this out there one last time. The difference between the ACC and the Pac-12 and the Big 12 was that the ACC's contract is not up. The Pac-12's contract was coming up. Big 12's contract was coming up. The ACC still has their deal till forever, 14 years from now. So that has to be resolved.
Yeah.
That they're not just going to let FSU or Clemson or Miami just walk away. So there's going to be everything's negotiable, so you'd assume that there's going to be some dollar amount that can be reached to make that happen, whether the whole ACC crumbles or whether just a few schools leave, whatever it is, and the other ones merge with other conferences. But the bottom line is this: they're not going to be able to walk away. I've seen some things written by people like, oh, the FSU should just go to the SEC.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
There's a lot of negotiation that is going to have to take place. The good news, to your guys' point, is it feels like that seems like a possibility, whereas – I mean, a year ago, 2 years ago, there were people who felt like, man, that they're not getting out of that grant of rights.
Wouldn't you think, too, you heard right away the guy that broke the original story. What's his name? John Wilner? Is that who it was?
The USC-UCLA
story. He said later that day, that the Big Ten was eyeing like North Carolina, Washington, Oregon, and Duke. Well, look, man, if North Carolina bounces, That is the end of the ACC. Right. And if they're, and that's another thing that should get Florida State fans excited, because I know Georgia Tech's been rumored a little bit to the Big Ten too. Miami, to me, would make sense to the Big Ten. But either way, if the if you know for a fact that the Big Ten is interested in other ACC schools, well, they know there's a grant of rights. You know what I mean? They know there's something that would have to
but
be paid.
It still has to be negotiated. Sure, but, and the Big Ten is Fox, and the ACC is ESPN.
Correct.
So that's not going to be an easy, like, oh, hey, give us these teams.
There is an air of inevitability to this,
for sure,
though. And
for
that's
sure.
where you get excited. It doesn't have to be that it's going to be this year. I would prefer not to continue to be behind the eight ball and amass a number of years in which these other programs are making $15 to $25 million per year more than you. But I do think that that air of inevitability is real, because the networks will get involved. And this is, if we're moving towards, say, 48 teams, 60 teams, whatever you guys want to argue about, and people argue about the number, but if that's where we're moving, like, I had a guy basically tweeting at me that, you know, well, the SEC, man, you're thinking too small right now. In essence, the SEC and the Big Ten aren't going to exist either.
Right.
The networks are going to run basically a professional football league, a notch below the NFL. Now, there's an argument to be made that the NFL already exists, but the point is, that's where this is going. So, you know, Florida State assuredly would be part of any group of 48 teams that are playing big-time college football. That's why, now, it may be two, three, to Ira's point, 4 or 5 years down the road, and nobody likes the sound of that. They want to go and get while the getting is happening. Florida State's not in total control of that. It's frustrating.
Yeah, but you're not. I don't think you're going to have the playoff scenario the way that they actually want it, with the money that can be made until all this happens.
Right.
Right. I just don't. I think that's the biggest building block. And I talked about this on Wake Up War Chant. It really helps Florida State, in my mind, that Clemson is like a business partner with them. Like, you're not going to take Clemson without Florida State, and you wouldn't take Florida State without Clemson, I don't think. Maybe Miami in there, too. But I think that makes it the allure of getting Florida State and Clemson. Is a really big deal, man. I you know what I mean.
Well, especially if the Big Ten is successful in getting Notre Dame and Oregon and Washington and you know some of those schools. Now the SEC has to go. They can't just say, okay, we like what we've got. They've got to then raise their game up, which includes, as you said, FSU, Clemson, some of these schools in the ACC. There are schools that, you know, and I know that the feeling for a long time was the SEC already has the state of Florida. They already have the state of South Carolina. What do they gain? Well, man, when you're talking about a league that is not just everybody out for themselves, but the quality of a league, there's a reason they went and got Texas to go with Texas A&M. They would want more than just one school. The whole dynamic, all the rationales that we've talked about and lived with for 30 years of college sports are kind of out the window if they go to this two mega.
Well, it's like the NFL. It's like the NFL wasn't like, well, we already got Miami, so what do we need Jacksonville for? What do we need Tampa for? I mean, you want as many big market or big name teams as you can get, and Florida State and Clemson are that. They bring eyeballs.
Yeah, we've moved to brands now, by the way. Oklahoma is in Norman, Oklahoma. There ain't nothing there. We've been there. I'm got family from Oklahoma. They didn't grab Oklahoma because of the market.
College Station. I mean, who lives there that's not being held against their will?
Yeah, you're grabbing brands, and Florida State is an iconic brand, as correctly noted by the head coach that resides here in Tallahassee currently. But I think I'm like all the other fans and supporters of Florida State that sit around thinking, man, the sooner this could happen, the better. Let's just, now that we know this is headed this way, can we expedite this? Now, of course, leagues don't like to go defunct. They don't. ACC, I mean, can you imagine Jim Phillips right now? What a time to have taken over this conference, a sinking ship.
If I'm him, I know he can't do this. So, Jim, I'm not saying you're doing this, and nobody should believe that I think he's doing this. But if I'm Jim Phillips, I might be thinking, hey, man, if I can make this deal happen, like if I can work with these other conferences, like what are they going to do for me?
Oh, he's like, going to be like a middleman, AAU coach?
Then can I be the new commissioner of college football?
Hire me as your assistant coach, and you can have my point guard.
But, yeah, no, because, I mean, to your point, it's – I know – The thing that gave me the most confidence, besides the grant of rights, that the ACC could last to the end of this contract in 2036,
the bitter end,
was that Jim Phillips took this job. You know, I mean, he was up for the Big Ten commissioner job. One of the probably five or six biggest, you know, well thought of administrators in college sports. So when he took the ACC job, I thought, okay, well, maybe this league's got a shot. Maybe Notre Dame is coming. Maybe there's got to be an end game for him to take this job. And maybe there isn't. But I think the point you just made, though, Jeff, I think is important for people to realize this won't be as clean for whoever leaves the ACC. Because, again, the Texas and Oklahoma were able to leave, you know, a couple years down the line. They wanted to leave overnight. They were not allowed to because of contracts, so they're going to have to be there for a little bit longer. Same thing with the Pac-12. Their contract was up, so one school, I think, is out next year and the other one's the year after. But the ACC is a totally different animal, and these other schools that are going to get left behind are not going to be cool with just saying, okay, goodbye, have a nice time, we'll watch you on TV. They are going to want to be compensated. So that process, I think, is going to be messier than what we've seen from these other conferences.
One thing that has proven to be true is, whether it's Sankey or anybody else, if you do not worry about popular opinion, but instead think about the long-term vision of your league and your teams and where this is headed and make decisions based on that and be damned everybody's, righteous fear. Those are the people that are being rewarded, because for all the people that said and wrote and talked about, you're the reason college football is ruined, or you're the reason this is going to hell in a handbasket, they went, we don't care, because this is where this is headed, and peace.
How about Kevin Warren in the Big Ten? They're just like, we got this alliance.
The alliance.
We got the alliance. I saw an interview. I can't remember who I just found on Twitter, but there was an interview with him today or over the weekend, and he said, they asked him, like, how do you...
What about the alliance?
And he said, well, as far as we're concerned, the alliance still has some meaning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I can't speak to the trust and whether or not that's been diminished. That'll play out over time. Sure. He literally said that. It's like,
I think we can all assume the trust has been diminished.
You just stole the best two schools in that conference.
I think the thing with the ACC, though, with Jim Phillips, Florida State isn't going to be the only team that's wanting out.
No.
In fact, if all these school presidents and ADs see what's going on, they're going to want to attach themselves. And I don't know, man, maybe Syracuse and Boston College and Pitt are like, no, keep us all together. But everybody else is going to be wanting to be in the big tanker. And how do you – so who are you going to really be angering? Like, well, NC State wants to go.
Well, it's not even being angry. It's just who do you owe money to?
Right.
Because they're part of this contract. But
think like 10 teams, 8 teams are going to be bouncing?
I think you are. To your point, I think you have a better chance if you bond together. If Clemson, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina, NC State, Virginia Tech, we're all to say, yeah, man, this is untenable. We don't want to be part of this.
The big question is, if you could get to, I think they probably need 10 or 11. I think it might be 11 schools to vote to disband the ACC.
Burn it down, Pookie.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's enough quality teams to get the 11. Like, you could probably get to like 8 between the Big Ten and the SEC. Like, North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia Tech, Miami probably all make sense to the Big Ten.
You can get the Big Ten to promise Boston College, hey, man, we'll take you. You just got to get up.
I mean, look, we took Rutgers.
We're going to send another raft. But
you guys wait patiently.
Hang here. Try not to drown.
There should be enough food. Everybody chill out. Be smart about it. Don't be gluttonous.
Yeah. But we promise
We'll be back. Things didn't work out.
So that part of it's going to be true. I don't know how it's going to play out. But you guys are 100% right in terms of what those conversations are like. It's been reported that the ACC had a meeting of their ADs and the presidents on phone calls, resumes on Friday. And, basically you have – Every president and administrator wants to make sure that they're taken care of. So how do you talk out of one side of your mouth, hey, what can we do to get Notre Dame and whatever else we got to do to strengthen our league? But on the other side, be like, man, how do I get out of here?
Yeah.
So those conversations, I would love to be a fly on the wall for those conversations.
Well, I wonder how long that remains civil. I mean, these guys are fighting to be professional and to have the kind of discourse that we – that belies academia.
Well, and look, man.
but like, I can't imagine that you're going to be real civil for very long.
Even if you do have to pay the full freight of the grant of rights, which I think now is it 390, 360? It's something nuts.
Bazillion.
So if you say you get out of, I think it's $25 million, $26 million a year for 16 years.
Sure.
So after 4 years, you've cut it. Let's say you join the SEC in 2027. Well, you've cut that by $130 million. You still owe $260 million to the ACC, but buddy, I know that's a ton of money, but I think you'd have a pretty good time raising money if it was to get you to the SEC. I think
Big Ten.
Whatever you have to do to get out of this conference, it's hard to build, get some money from donors maybe to build a football mansion. It's not hard to get them to leave for the SEC. Now, that's a ton of money, but hey, man, by that time, Brady might be a first-round pick. He'll have some money to throw around. Sure. I mean, Bryce, too, will be a one-and-done. So we'll have – the Clarkson cameras will be throwing some money to the train.
I just think, by the way, most of that money would get paid by whoever it was that was welcoming you in.
Right. Well, yeah. Some of that. They'd at least go half and like, half.
We got you. We got you guys. Yeah. It's going to work out. TV deals. We got a lot of money laying around. Yeah. We'll be okay. Come on in here and let's enhance
and
the
think,
brand.
Didn't they with Maryland? I can't remember exactly. I think that the Maryland got like a reduced share for a few years until they made up that money. Like I think the Big Ten fronted them that money.
What a great decision that was by the Big Ten, too. Maryland's really paid off for them, I'm sure.
No, but think about it. You know what? How lucky is Rutgers and Maryland?
Ridiculous.
Or any of these schools like Vanderbilt, useless to the SEC on the playing field.
Yeah, and they've done nothing at all for the brand.
I mean, you think about some of the teams that have made it and will likely be grandfathered in. I have wondered this, though. Like, if that's where you're going, like, let's say you want the strongest of the conferences – why wouldn't you, if you were the Big Ten, tell Illinois to have a good day?
I think that's all going to be coming.
I was going to say, like, when you be like, man, listen, what are you doing here?
Illinois and Vanderbilt have done nothing.
Who are
with
we
their...
kidding? Yeah. Come on now. Yeah.
What's going to happen, I think at some point, there's going to be a demand that you have a certain level of resources, a certain level of money.
Commitment
put
to the
commitment
game.
To the game to stay. And then it's going to be up to those schools.
Like Purdue, listen, it's been real.
Right, but you have done nothing
since
Drew Brees.
I mean, God bless you. I like your cool little P on the helmet there and all that, but this
I drove by West Lafayette on the way to Chicago.
How was it?
Awful. Well, I shouldn't say awful. The highway was awful, but it did have a bunch of windmills, man. They have a windmill farm out there that's like 500,000 acres.
That seems like it's fitting of West Lafayette.
If you go out there and look at the windmills.
Here we go.
They're cool, man. They were cool, but yeah. Yeah, man, it's crazy. But I think for the first time, as somebody that covers Florida State and grew up cheering for this program, for the first time in, like, I don't know, man, 4 years, 3 years, I feel a little hope. There's hope that there's some good news on the horizon.
I've really kind of maintained a level of hope that this was – I mean, this
but it,
appeared
it expedited
to be
it.
Where
that,
we were headed. Yes, this just accelerates.
I think this is a bigger one than even Texas-Oklahoma because that was just SEC saying we want to dominate the world.
Well, yeah.
But now
the
they have a competitor.
Mighty answer.
But they have a competitor that answered. And now, okay, well, competition breeds
Here
more
we go.
Teams.
Let's go. Yeah. Yeah, let's get it on. Seminal Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Ho, ho, ho. Horizons,
it took,
Bar and Grill.
It took all the strength I had not to interrupt you, turn off your mic, and go home.
Do you like how I closed my eyes when I sang?
Oh, believe me, that was the best part.
I didn't look at it, thankfully.
It was unbelievable. He looked like Al Jarreau or something. It's like Luther Vandross.
Well, he was making sure it was there. I want to apologize to Horizon Sports Bar and Grill. Their delicious food should not be overlooked by Corey singing.
Man, that's a great jingle,
gang. Distracting you from the restaurant itself. But Horizons Bar and Grill is where, Ira?
Bannerman Crossing.
You're damn
North
right it
East
is.
Tallahassee, off Thomasville Road and Bannerman Road. It's, man, it's just, it's incredible food, incredible people, incredible beer.
It's where we are a lot.
Hey, before the end of the week, fellas, any week, like you could be listening to this 6 weeks from now, let's all get together at Horizons Bar and Grill.
We're there a lot. We really are. So if you want to see this in person, this trio in person.
Never mind the food. You get to see the three of us.
But yeah, the food and the drinks, the patio, it's all good, man. It's all working. It's all working at Horizons.
And if you sing the theme song, they'll give you some free food, I think.
I think you get, the bill is paid for if you sing the song. But you have to sing it like I do.
And tell them Corey's thinking.
With a bar tab.
Yes,
it's amazing. Correct.
It's incredible.
It just keeps growing. They're so kind.
Seminal Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Either way, all of this makes this season very, very interesting. And here we are in July. We should be celebrating that fact because you got ACC kickoff coming up in Charlotte. Practice starts this month. Here we go.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, just say that out loud. Practice starts this month for FSU. So this interminable offseason that it always is accelerated this year because of the early game, the week zero game. But, you know, with practice, once it's underway, once practice begins, now you really start getting into the nuts and bolts of what guys are, where the competitions are going. And this year in particular, you've got a greater group of competitors with each segment group that I think is of interest to our fan base and to all of us watching because there are some unknowns that are going to help shape the season. And you have some real contests along this offensive line with a group that might actually have some depth. We'll see what some of the incoming guys are. You know, how good is Dimitri Emmanuel, for example? Does he come in right away and present himself as a possible starter? Is Caden Lyles now with a full offseason getting his body right? Understanding the system, is he in a better place to compete to win the starting center's job? Maurice Smith has apparently put on weight. He has an answer for that competition, right? Let's see what happens there. Who you moving? Who's going to be your tackle? Is it Bless Harris? So that's real competition with possible choices to back those players up that we didn't have before, that Florida State hasn't had in some time. Same holds true, I think, at corner and a couple other spots. So there's reason to be excited about practice beginning beyond the fact that it signifies football's here. It, on a daily basis, you're going to see things that help dictate terms.
Yeah, and the cool thing is we'll be going to Charlotte for ACC kickoff in like 2 weeks. I think 2 weeks from today we'll be going there. It starts on the 20th, I believe. And then usually there's a wait. Like, it's so cool to go to kickoff because it's like the first taste of real live. We're interviewing coaches and players.
Yeah. Here we go.
You're talking football, and they come out with, you know, everybody makes their projections.
2.5 week wait.
And then you have like a couple weeks before it actually starts again. But actually, yeah, with Florida State playing that week zero game, they get to start practice earlier than everybody else, and they'll be practicing, probably the last few days of July. And, and then with the access we get, thanks to Mike Norvell, you know, we'll actually be able to talk about these battles and why certain guys maybe look better than other guys. And there's positions everywhere. And Norvell said that before the spring about he was so excited about this past spring, because it was the first time they'd have a legitimate competition. Well, they've added new pieces since then. So the offensive line, but you also have defensive end where you have three or four guys competing for a starting job. As you said, defensive back, running back. I mean, there's a lot of competition across this roster. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And you saw some guys respond to that competition even in spring, and it's only been bolstered. I thought that Amari Gaynor had a very good spring. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a guy that showed another level of intensity because, frankly, he has to, or else he's not going to play a lot. I mean, that's when you bring in Tatum Bethune, now everybody else gets slotted down some. And so right off the bat, you know, a guy like DJ Lundy is out of the mix. So now he's fighting to get reps. Well, I think that's true of Amari Gaynor, too. He showed a little bit more intensity, right? And then I think you'll see that, obviously, at receiver. I think you'll see that at defensive back. Renardo Green's trying to fight everybody off for that other corner spot. Kevin Knowles could slide out there. These are things we've discussed in our offseason on WarChant.com and WarChant TV with the videos we've produced. But these are all things that are legit. This isn't just us trying to convince ourselves that there's intrigue where there isn't. There's real competition in a lot of these places. And so that's when you can create a greater level of intensity on a daily basis, and you have a chance to kind of be as sharp as Corey likes to say, iron.
It does.
How's it go?
Iron sharpens iron.
There, I wanted you to say it.
Yeah.
It's your catchphrase. I've
coined it. I think it was 2010. I can't quite remember what year it was.
But the point is that we get a real case of ironing, sharpening iron here. Not with a bunch of five stars yet, but with still a greater level of competition on a daily basis should create the kind of competition that betters everybody.
Speaking of, they got a big commitment today.
They did.
Right before we went on air.
Their highest
D-line commitment in 5 years, 6 years, something like that.
Keldrick Falk, he's a defensive end out of Alabama
who was
considering, I think, Auburn, Clemson, Florida. And we had a good feeling just because he seemed so excited every time he came here. He visited Florida State, I think, 6 or 7 times. Just really seemed to hit it off with
his
staff.
They needed that, man. That's good.
It's a big pickup. Yeah,
that is a big pickup. Ryan wrote and contributed, so we need to read his latest question here. Did you see Packer and Durham announcing the last show, even though they thought, thank you, Lord? What do you think is going to replace it? Do you think is going to replace it?
I don't think they thought, thank you, Lord.
No, I don't think they did either. I think they thought, damn, we just got told to have a good day. Here's the thing. Ira is kind enough to reach out to me over the weekend and say, Jeff, let's go. He wants me to put my name in.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Gig, right? Yeah.
They love us talking about the ACC.
Guys,
they would not allow me on the show.
I don't know if you realize this, but the ACC is a sinking ship.
Well, this would be the show.
I don't think that I can save them, even with an entertaining morning show. I don't think there's anything we can do from a radio standpoint to salvage what's left of the ACC, friends.
But, guys, we've got Jeff Cameron.
We got him.
Yes,
We're bringing him to Charlotte. He's moving here. Mm. He'll be based here, guys. Let's go. You can see things are turning for the better.
North Carolina and all these other schools just left for the Big Ten. Yeah. These other schools. But we have Jeff Cameron.
Jeff Cameron's here for the long haul.
And he can talk about lacrosse with the best of them.
You know the sport.
Let's
Jim Brown.
Go.
One of the best to ever do it.
Great athletes of all time.
And the tack classes. Speaking of defensive ends, I was thinking about this when you were talking about the competition. If you had to put down money today, who's starting a defensive end for Florida State?
Thank you, Ryan, by the way, for the
donation.
Thanks, Ryan. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate you very much. Okay, so you're talking about the one spot with Verse is what you think is open?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I think Verse is one of them.
You think he's a starter?
Yes.
From day one?
Yep. Yeah, Duquesne's going to have trouble.
It seems hard to imagine him not starting, but I also think Dennis Briggs is a starter. And Derek McClendon had a good spring.
I think McClendon – I thought McClendon had a really good spring. Briggs is a guy, if he's right, I loved, and obviously I'm rooting for. I think you can use him in multiple ways, unlike some of those other guys. I don't really think you can use those other guys other than at end. So that's an interesting one.
I like – yeah, when they're in passing situations, I like Briggs in the middle, and then you've got those three.
I think that's how that's going to work, by the way. Yeah. That's my opinion. But Verse is an interesting case study this year. How quickly – because we know his dedication to improvement on a daily basis, whether it be physically, mentally, technique, that's there. In my interview with him, he revealed that. He talked about it. Then we went out and saw it. He's going to make mistakes, but he's going to make them at 1,000 miles per hour. They're going to take advantage of how at times overzealous he is. I think they're going to take advantage. I think also teams – if you wanted to negate some of his athleticism, you would run right at him. He's a little light right now. He's a big kid, but he's got room to get bigger. But I do think, yeah, you're probably right. He's probably going to be out there as a starter. But see, there you go. That's another area where we come out here this month and we start watching practice. Right. These are things we're going to be able to watch on a daily basis. The competition will be fierce there because all of those guys compete. All those guys care. All those guys had a good spring. All those guys seem to be, you know, ready to go to war over this. So that's a good problem to have.
And I was talking to Aslan about it. It really is illuminating when you look at the top 40 that we did. And like he was like, man, you only had Akeem Dent at 12. I thought you were a big fan of Akeem Dent. And I'm like, buddy, I am. And he was really good in the spring, I thought. He had like probably 5 or 6 picks. And he was good at the end of the year. And I'm like, but that tells me how much better the roster is. If you had a guy like Akeem Dent, a former five-star that really seemed to find his stride the second half of the season and had the spring he did, coming back to last year's team or the 2020 team, I don't know. I might have ranked him 4th on the team. And this time I ranked him 12th. Trayshawn Ward was behind him, I think.
Further down the list,
Ward averaged 6.3 yards per carry. Like, I just think that tells you where this roster has gotten to, where you've got some legitimate to good college football players. More of them, like the top 30 of them.
We did admit that this year was not an exercise in futility. The ranking of the top 40 did not serve to depress me.
Right.
Normally it does. Yeah. Normally I'm like, okay, we're finished with the first 7.
Now what?
It's just randomness.
Now you just
grab
numbers.
These 33 players and shake them up because they're all the same. That's not what
except
we did
the
this
kicker.
Year.
You're not, you take the kicker out of the hat. You're not even drawing a kicker, are you?
I put him 40th. I put him at 40th.
Oh, you did this year?
Yeah, this year
all
I put
right,
him at 40th.
All right, there you go. Fitz magic?
Yeah. I got punter kicker, 39 and 40.
Any chance we can get some fan in here over here?
Something seems a little off.
It's a little warm
over
here.
You know, the good news is it's time to take a commercial break. I'll get to the bottom
of
this.
Hey, can I ask you something real quick?
We'll remedy this situation, sir.
Can you hear me right now as I talk? Can you hear me saying stuff?
Yeah, but I don't know if everybody else can.
Oh, okay. Because I have the cough button down.
Yeah, but don't do that.
Well, sometimes I have to cough, and it'd be cool if the button worked.
Or you could just
let everybody
not cough.
Yeah,
you want me to roll out of the room?
I thought you got all your gastrointestinal situations worked out.
Mostly.
Here. What's wrong?
Mostly.
Your esophagus
still a little bit left over.
Let's get it together.
Still some remnants.
Seminole Headlines 93.3 Real Talk Radio War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Just because it is fun to dare to dream, which would you rather go to? Would you want to go to the Big Ten or the SEC?
The SEC. I mean, think about all those drives. I just did the drive.
Oh,
to
see, this
Lafayette,
is, I forget.
Indiana.
I forget. You refuse to take a flight.
In Northwestern. I basically drove
Chicago,
to Northwestern.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good place.
It's not an easy drive, guys. It's not the most fun drive you've ever had.
You're allowed to fly.
Yeah, let's go with a hypothetical
that people are flying.
That people could get on planes and go to these schools and see these matches.
They may well have developed planes to the point where you could fly to Chicago by then, Corey.
In like a couple hours.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Hey, I'm still waiting on the trains.
Yeah.
Still waiting on the trains to happen. I would say, I had this conversation with someone, and I was like, man, I know, like, Starkville isn't the prettiest place in the world.
No, not at all.
It is not.
It's not.
But Oxford's supposedly great. And those stadiums are unique experience with fans that care. And the Big Ten has some of those, but not a lot.
Well,
Michigan
friend,
and Ohio State and Nebraska.
Hold on.
Got it.
Hold on. So USC, UCLA.
Well, sure.
Nebraska, Michigan, Ohio State, all fun places to go see a game would be awesome. Wisconsin, Camp Randall, badass.
Yeah.
That's 6.
That's it. You've named them.
Well, hold on.
You named them.
I think you'd have fun in East Lansing at Michigan State games.
In November? I don't know, man.
Oh, you worried about the temperature?
I'm worried about all of it.
Oh, this guy. This freaking guy. I can't fly. I don't want to. Yeah.
He doesn't want to drive there and then sit in the climate control press conference. Press box.
I'm thinking about the fans, gang.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking about the fans. And the fans, I think, by and large, would much rather go to Athens, Tuscaloosa,
Auburn.
It's a
shorter jaunt. It's a shorter jaunt, to be sure.
You fit more with those fan bases.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Do the ACC fans fit better?
Florida State. You don't think Florida State fans fit better?
I look down on most of the people in the SEC. Yes.
Well, I mean, Jeff doesn't want to admit that those are his people.
Right,
no,
yeah.
No,
so you look down on Clemson, because Clemson's essentially an SEC fan base.
Baby. No, that's a rabid fan base, solid fan base.
Well, that's all of them. So you got LSU, Alabama, Auburn,
love LSU fans,
Tennessee.
By the way. Love LSU. Every time I've ever been there, great people, great fan base.
I think it makes
a little bit better than going to, say, Mississippi State.
Yeah, that Mississippi State's the one, though,
a little
right?
shaky.
All the other ones, like Lexington's pretty. Nashville's a cool city.
Listen to him convince himself.
No, I mean, there's Big Ten's Indiana.
Lexington is pretty, but I don't know that that's why I want to take them
pretty.
In as a college football power.
Well, right, but you know. They're not a power, but it's like if you're talking about
getting excited
allure,
to go out to see Arkansas, are you?
Yeah. Yeah. That's an easy drive.
No, it's the Fayetteville's
It actually
close.
Is not an easy drive. I drove
close
it one
at
time.
All.
Jim Lamar had me drive for track. The track national championships. Oh, that was tough. But don't you think, Ira, wouldn't you think by and large most of these fans, I know you want to land anywhere, but man, Florida State, Tennessee, Florida State, Alabama, Florida State, LSU is much more exciting.
Listen,
than,
I'm excited about both. I'm excited about either one.
Either yeah, you're
one.
Not going to turn down.
All jokes aside, all my snide comments aside, I'm telling you I'd be excited about both. Get us the hell out of here. That's all I'm saying. Get us the hell out of here and let's go. Whether we're driving to Oxford or if we're flying to Columbus, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, if you're stranded on the island and a boat comes by that says Big Ten, you're not like, hey, hold on.
Is there something off in the distance?
Squint your eyes, Corey. Is that the SEC boat? It's a raft, Jeff. Okay, still.
It gives us hope.
I think, SEC obviously is a much better fit. One challenge with either of these, certainly with the SEC, is – well, both of them, man. You're going to be third-class citizens for a while. Florida State was third-class citizens in the ACC, even though they were dominating in football.
But it didn't bother us. Didn't bother us, though.
No, I agree. But this will be a little. This is going to be interesting. You know, those schools. I mean, how all the complaints we've had about the officiating and all these different things, scheduling and all these things, and what are they doing to the non-traditional Tobacco Road schools? Well, that's going to be magnified, I think, in the SEC.
Let's worry about it when we get there.
I'll tell you what,
we'll weep a little bit as we count our money.
Yeah.
Because at this point, this is untenable, you know, and it's only going to fall further behind. So the idea of watching, you know, a rival like the University of Florida pocketing $25 to $35 million more than you per year.
Well, the projection
just on conference affiliation.
I think the projection in 5 years is like $60 million.
Yeah, it's
65
insane.
Million.
That's why this last week didn't change a whole lot for me, because I just felt there had to be a reckoning.
Yeah,
there was no way.
It's just cool
that
it came this quickly.
Right. No, for sure. But I just couldn't imagine any scenario where this just went off into perpetuity, or at least until the ACC.
Because it felt like, and you can't judge life on Twitter and reactions from national sports writers on Twitter, but it felt like Texas, Oklahoma, when that happened, it was all about the SEC exerting its dominance. That was the old story. That was the whole narrative. This became college football is changing forever.
What's next?
What's next after this? This was the shot across the bow.
Oh, yeah, the Big Ten's like, yeah, we've got Los Angeles and New York.
And I think the reality is there's also the Fox part of it where they're saying we want to be a huge player
which
in college football.
Which is great for people like Florida State fans. You want somebody that's going to challenge ESPN to make ESPN want you.
But now, and that's the question with Big Ten is I wonder, you just have to wonder, if there is an interest there to getting into Florida, to getting into the Southeast more. You know, as Gene said, he's heard some things about Georgia Tech in the Big Ten.
Well, wouldn't you, if you were doing that, wouldn't you grab Georgia Tech and Miami?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could get the swath of the Southeast. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could get four schools with one swipe, or five or six. I just think there's going to be, and to your point, Corey, it's good that you're not only dealing with ESPN, that there's even the possibility where ESPN could say, hey, if we don't put Florida State and Clemson in the SEC, maybe somebody else might get them.
Yeah, and that's not good for the SEC. Like, the SEC fans would be like, wait, you grabbed whoever, name it school. You grabbed Virginia and Virginia Tech, and you didn't get Florida State and Clemson. What's the matter with you?
So the one
SEC
thing, though,
brethren, the
good
schools.
News is that we've known for some time that only live sports is going to survive for in terms of what we're talking about with ratings and all. You can't. Nobody watches anything as it's scheduled now. Everything's a la carte, right? Except for live sports. So right. Everybody's gobbling up live sports rights. So
in Maverick, people went and watched Maverick.
So you're going
to see it yet?
Oh, so you're right. Going. So you're going to have, of course, the Apples of the world, the Netflix of the world, the Amazons of the world gobbling up. I mean, this is there's a fight for all of this. So that's why I say there's an air of inevitability with all of this. Florida State and Clemson and Miami, they're all going to get gobbled.
If you were Kevin Warren or his aide, would you not reach out to somebody that lives in Georgia and be like, hey, would Georgia Tech be worth bringing them in? Because I've lived there my whole life. I've gone to sports bars there my whole life. It is 20 to 25 to 1 Georgia fans to Georgia Tech.
That is correct. And anything that benefits the schools in the state goes to Georgia.
Well, let me ask you this, though.
So you can't think the ratings you're going to get. ACC with Boston. They don't care.
Not immediately.
But maybe Georgia Tech becomes something.
$80 million a year for their football program or whatever. Now all of a sudden,
change.
I mean, that talent base is the population in Atlanta. When I went to Thomasville before you got there, and the high school football championships, it was whoever won in South Georgia won the state championship. Like whoever won the regions in South Georgia just dominated the teams from up where you were from. But man, when that population exploded, the Atlanta schools dominate everything in high school. The talent there is unbelievable. Georgia Tech has been, I mean, Atlanta's been raided by the Clemsons and Alabamas and everybody else. But if you poured a fortune into facilities and became like the Oregon of the Southeast.
That's what you're
change.
Projecting. You're deciding, Georgia Tech isn't worth a damn right now, but what are they
maybe
in 30
they would be.
Years?
Yeah, it could be. I think Miami's a much more natural fit if you're going for a big market that you know. Like, look, I know Miami, their fans don't show up for those games hardly ever, but I think they get pretty good ratings in that city, and that's a big city. I don't think anybody in Atlanta watches Georgia Tech.
And they also meet the academic criteria that Florida State currently does not.
You're talking about for the Big Ten.
Florida State's trying to become an AAU team, or an AAU school, AAU team.
A what?
An AAU, the American Association of Universities.
Right. Okay.
Like all the Big Ten schools have that designation.
Yeah, so UCLA and USC both are in that. Yeah. That's why it was easy for them
and
to
Georgia
grab
Tech does. Yeah. 99% positive Miami does. Florida State's trying to get that.
Isn't that cute that the Big Ten still care, acts like that matters?
That's like a differentiator to them.
Yeah,
temporarily.
As of now, they've been able to stick to it.
Yeah, they have. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
You know, it's funny. Somebody brought it up on the chat, and it's true. Until such time that we get the next bombshell announcement, everybody's going to engage. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people will engage in wild speculation because, to be sure, there are legitimate conversations happening behind the scenes. And there are legitimate sources talking to reporters about parts of those conversations, you know, maybe not in its entirety, but just, hey, this team's name was mentioned, this university was mentioned, this school was mentioned. So you're going to hear whisperings of that from now until the next big announcement. And that's because, again, I think everybody knows that's undeniably now where this is going. So there's no more speculation. Well, maybe this team will go to the Big 12. No, this is getting to be with which teams want to play big boy football and are all in on that front and which teams are not going to do that and cannot do that.
So we think for sure Florida State, Miami, and Clemson are going to land somewhere. I mean, that would be crazy to think that they wouldn't.
Of course they're going.
Louisville?
Now, that's an interesting one. They're so
they care.
Well,
and
they
get ratings in that state. And Louisville's a big city. Like, it's not a huge market, but it's certainly bigger than Tallahassee. It's a big
city. Well, there are plenty of markets out bigger than Tallahassee. Yeah. That's
big. Tallahassee is 107.
We're not just doing, again, this is a lot about brands and not about necessarily
market. No, but
that's
a major city with a
team they're outside that they really the top 50 markets, but they are a bigger city. Yeah, and they do care, and they have money, and they've invested, and they've got three viable teams.
I mean, I think just looking at the conferences or the divisions of the ACC, Clemson, Florida State, definitely. I think Louisville and NC State are tweeners.
I think NC State's getting in to either the SEC or the Big Ten. Yeah.
I don't see how Syracuse or Wake Forest does.
I'll tell you a better one. Virginia Tech.
They're in the middle of nowhere.
Speaking of which, it's
a good talent base. And there's a lot of talent in that.
Maybe if they hooked on with Virginia somehow. If they latch themselves to Virginia,
I think they would go separate. I think Virginia, but that's interesting because that was the whole issue.
That's how Virginia Tech got into the ACC. That's correct
because they weren't going to get in.
But you know, that's what's interesting about the UCLA USC thing is that UCLA and Cal are connected, right. And then Cal's like, "What the?
Yeah."
In the coastal, I mean, it seems like Georgia Tech would probably get into the Big Ten if that's how it shakes out. Miami, North Carolina are definitely getting in somewhere, and then Virginia Tech's an interesting one. I don't know. Pitt's an interesting one.
What does Pitt do, man? What's Pitt do for you?
It's
they got you to change a rule about a quarterback.
Well, that's your argument about the damn city. I mean, Pitt's bigger than Louisville.
Yeah,
yeah, but I don't think that's. I've been to the games.
They don't necessarily care
about that team.
And the Big Ten Network's already in that market. Like they're not going to get any more TV sets because they're already on all the TV sets because of Penn State.
It gets interesting because you do have a cutoff point. You have to argue whether you think this is headed towards 48 teams to 24. Is it going to 60? If it's 60, then you easily let Virginia Tech and NC State
That's been the whole question facing administrators is nobody knows what the number is going to be. Is it going to be 48? Is it going to be 32? Is it going to be 64? And everybody that's not, USC, UCLA, Oklahoma, Texas is trying to figure out where they are on that.
Yeah, there's
that
a bunch list of teams like Oklahoma State, for example. Right. I mean, where that's a big enough program, but really, like, what are we doing here in Stillwater?
Yeah.
So then, you see this with a lot of schools that are right up there on the fringe that you wonder about, and I think there's a lot of nervous people at those places, obviously.
And there's a report, Dennis Dodd reported that the Big 12 is trying to poach the remaining, or six of the remaining Pac-12 schools.
So they're trying to go, I guess, Oregon and Washington? They're trying to grab them?
I would assume so.
If you're Oregon and Washington, just wait on the Big 10.
Right.
Don't go to the Big 12.
Unless you feel like, but there's some part, because the Pac-12 has to, at some point, negotiate a contract for TV. So, like, they can't just wait forever. And the Big 10's waiting for Notre Dame. So, there's just a lot of everything is, to your point, everybody's kind of speculating because I don't think anything's concrete. I don't think schools across the country have any idea where they're going to be in 2 years. They just know they better not be where they're at right now.
Wherever you're standing, that's not a good place if it's not in one of those two.
If you're the Big Ten, your negotiating ploy with Notre Dame is like, look, if you don't come and join us, our schools aren't allowed to play you, and they will not play you. So good luck going into Texas and playing some SEC schools that might feel the same exact way. Like, you either join a conference and help all of us together, or go play Texas Tech in
Cal. It seems like a natural fit that they would just go to the Big Ten.
Yeah, but they want their
independence. I know they value their independence, but where this is headed, I don't know that they're going to be able to do that. Maybe they can. Maybe they can. I don't know that they can't, but
if the Big 12 did somehow get some of the better teams in the Pac-12, are they viable? And if they're viable, does that make the ACC schools feel like they're viable and just trying to figure out if there's somebody they can add?
Well, who is the ACC going to add if the Big 12 grabs Oregon and Washington? Who are you grabbing out of the ACC?
Hoping for Notre Dame.
Washington State.
Notre Dame ain't coming.
Washington State. You get to go to Pullman.
You're screwed.
Oregon State. Corvallis is really pretty. They're good at baseball.
So it's up on the chat right now. Director Matthew posted it up there. Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah mentioned specifically as teams being targeted by the Big 12, sources telling CBS Sports. Consideration of adding Oregon and Washington to make the Big 12 an 18-team league, the largest in FBS.
Well, I love how there's also consideration of Oregon and Washington. No, those would be the ones you have to have.
You have to get them.
The first four or five don't do anything for you.
Utah is interesting. That is a school on the rise in a state that's growing. So it's kind of fascinating to see what you would do with Utah. And they do go to games, and they're passionate, and they're good. Yeah. They won the Pac-12 last year. They're good.
Salt Lake City's a big city.
I'm just saying, Utah's an interesting one. When we have the larger conversation about where people end up in musical chairs, there are so many teams you could forget about and then think back on later and go, I mean, Arizona State is interesting. Arizona State, that's a huge stadium, passionate fans that one time had a place at the party.
Yeah. Remember when we did this like 4 or 5 years ago, we sat down and picked the schools. Yeah. If we restarted college football, like who would be invited to that 64? We actually went through it. And
it's fun to do.
Yeah, and Utah I don't think was on our list back then, but maybe it would be.
Maybe it would be now, right? Like I would rather have Utah if I were a big-time conference than Illinois.
Hey, you're down on Illinois.
Well, Jesus.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Go to Champaign, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
No, man.
So is Stanford not on that list?
Stanford's in trouble.
So would the Big Ten take them?
Stanford, that's the thing. Stanford can go F itself. As much money as they get in endowments, they don't need any more TV money. Well, they can just go win their sailing championships.
They'd still probably like to be part of the bigger picture.
They can win their sailing championships and their rowing championships and their Directors' Cups every year for the rest of our lives. I don't need them in any football conference.
It might be prettier than Lexington.
I've been to Palo Alto.
I have too. It is 100% prettier than Lexington.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't have horse racing, though.
No, I would go to Palo Alto if you said, hey, the camera show could go to Palo Alto. All right.
How'd you guys do it the track the other day?
Not great. So I took Brady to Churchill Downs, and we bet. Stephanie had a friend there that lives in Kentucky,
That's
too.
A good
so
kind
she came
of dad
up.
Right there. Good.
And, this was how it was, early. Too. Stephanie got the app on her phone where you can bet, but I was like, no, we're doing it the old school way. We're going to the ticket office.
Yeah,
we're going,
just get up there. Yeah. Did you do it with whiskey on your breath?
No,
you
I had vodka.
That's how you do it.
But I had.
That's when times are good.
That's when times
when
are
times
good.
Times are tough.
Yeah.
I taught Brady. He's 14 now. I'm like, look, here. You saw me do it. Go to the machine. Put my card in. $40. You're betting 20 on your horse. You're betting 20 on my horse. And I had a parlay. So I'm doing the parlay. Do this and blah, blah, blah. And he did it. Came back. Got the two. This was the last race. We had lost every one before that. Last race. His horse wins. My horse finishes second. And
nice.
So I hit the parlay. He won it.
It's called an exacta, by the way.
That's what I say. I said a parlay.
Yeah, you
that's
did.
A team.
I wasn't going to – but my I'm man comes from a horse racing background.
Exactly. And I boxed it. I boxed the exacta.
Exacta box. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
So we won. And Brady lost the two tickets.
What?
How?
So, who knows? I don't know if he wiped his butt with them. If he threw them in the trash, who knows how he lost.
He lost the tickets. That's the thing you can't lose.
That's the old, he gave me a ticket, and it was from the race before. I was like, this isn't it. Where's race 10? And so we looked around for 5 minutes, like if he'd thrown it on the ground, and it ruined the whole day. Like I wasn't going to make my money back, but I would have probably won $60 on those two races.
The point is, don't lose the tickets.
Some people say maybe Corey, you go make the bets and handle the money, but I'm trying to teach him
how to do this
and how to
fail
gamble.
The test.
Ira, you were making bets at 14 at a horse track.
Did he get to drive?
Ira's
home
dad had Ira killing people.
He
at
did
14.
Get. He actually drove home because I was too drunk. He drove up to Chicago.
Perfect. Perfect.
That's a good bond right there.
Got to.
Yeah.
Got to.
That's good stuff. Hour number two, forthcoming. Some little headlines. We'll get to headliner questions. Stay with us. There's a lot of them, so we'll touch on that next.